I now can sing since I've been redeemed.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
I faith in Christ, my Redeemer King.
I'm on the everlasting rock. Then roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock of ages. Roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock.
Welcome to the Voice of Hope. If you knew Jesus was returning soon, would it change the way you live today? I'm so glad you've joined us for this time of Bible teaching and spiritual encouragement. I'm Anthony High, Executive Director of Heralds of Hope, and it's a privilege to walk through God's Word with you. Today's message comes from Mark chapter 13, verses 28 to 37, where Jesus continues his prophetic teaching about the end of the age. Here at Heralds of Hope, we include a bit of Jesus' urgency in our vision statement. Our vision is to use media to make disciples of Jesus Christ to accomplish the Great Commission in our lifetime. It might be audacious to imply that the Great Commission could be accomplished in our lifetime. While we don't mean to be presumptuous, rather we intend to convey a sense of urgency about the task at hand. Everybody needs to have the opportunity to decide about Jesus.
Far and near the fields are teeming with the waves of ripe and grain.
Our culture has a strange relationship with the future. On one hand, we're obsessed with predicting it. On the other, we dismiss or scoff at the idea of divine judgment. But Jesus didn't speak these words as vague warnings. He gave them as loving commands, so we wouldn't be caught unaware. So grab your Bible and open it to Mark chapter 13, verse 28. And join our Bible teacher, J. Mark Horst, as we hear what it means to truly watch and pray.
Our culture seems to have a love-hate relationship with future things, because on one hand, the popularity of horoscopes and astrology and other ways of foretelling the future is quite high. People always have had a hankering to peer into the future. But then on the other hand, descriptions of divine judgment are met with scorn, even ridicule. Many people today accept Jesus as a wise teacher, but they reject the notion of him as being the supreme judge. They say things like, "Oh, God is a God of love. He wouldn't send anyone to hell." You know, both of those are factual statements. But God's love has provided a way by which every human being can escape eternal punishment. Each one of us will choose the path. If we end up in hell, no one will send us there. It will be because of our choice. Now, as I noted in our previous study, The Coming of the Son of Man, Jesus provided several clear indicators of the coming judgment as well as the end of the age. In the verses from our text today, which is Mark chapter 13 and verses 28 to 37, he gives further instruction relating to this very critical point in human history. In the earlier verses of Mark 13, Jesus' prophetic words pivot back and forth from the near future, that would be the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD, to the distant future, his return at the end of the age. In our text for today, he seems to be zeroing in on conditions that exist at the climax of human history. The immediate context is verses 24 to 27, which deal with supernatural disturbances in the heaven and on the earth immediately after the Great Tribulation. And these disturbances will culminate with the Son of Man coming in power and great glory. Jesus reminded his hearers to be alert to the times they were living in. And you know something? What he said is not a casual suggestion. His words are just as important today as they were when he uttered them to his disciples. They are urgent because we are nearly 2,000 years closer to his return, to the day of judgment. So, what was the primary purpose of Jesus' words in our text? I believe it was to show us how to prepare so that these events don't take us unaware. So I've titled the message, Watch and Pray. So let's turn now to the text, Mark chapter 13 and verses 28 to 37. Here is the word of God to us. Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see these things happening, know that it is near, at the doors. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Take heed, watch, and pray, for you do not know when the time is. It is like a man going to a far country, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to each his work, and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to all. Watch. In this text, Jesus gives several necessary commands. And if we obey these commands, they will enable us to remain vigilant as we await the return of Christ. The first command is, be observant. Jesus uses several words to call attention to the seriousness of our task as we're waiting for the Lord's coming. He uses words like these, take heed, behold, watch. In the opening verse, he says learn a parable of the fig tree. In other words, take a careful look. Just a glance isn't enough because you'll miss important details. Now, as you may be aware, there's some debate about Jesus' reference to the fig tree. Some people see it just as a simple reference to a physical tree. After all, the fig tree was a common sight in Bible lands. But others see it as a reference to Israel as a nation. And you know they have a valid point, because there are many scriptures that compare the nation of Israel to a vine or to a fig tree. Just a few of those references are Jeremiah chapter 24, Hosea 9:10, and Joel chapter 1 and verse 7. Some Bible teachers believe that the fig tree budded in May 1948 when Israel once again became a nation. Maybe that's a valid conclusion. If so, it's not readily apparent in the text. But Jesus said when the fig tree begins to push out blossoms and leaves, then you know that summer isn't far away. In a similar way, Jesus said when you see the events I've told you coming to pass, you should realize that the Son of Man's coming is very near. Even young children can follow Jesus' line of reasoning. Recall with me how Jesus rebuked the Pharisees and the scribes because they were unable to read the signs of the time. He said to them, "You can discern the weather by the color of the sky or the direction of the wind, but you're oblivious to the times you're living in. You don't recognize me as the fulfillment of the prophecies that you've been studying for years. You should be paying attention." Just like the fig tree blossoming signals the nearness of the summer, when the events I've told you about in this chapter are happening, and that's in the present tense, by the way, then you know the kingdom of God is very near, and you need to take appropriate action. In the earlier verses, in Jesus' specific predictions about the destruction of Jerusalem, he gave them warnings that were particular to that time. And in the same way, he warns us about the day of judgment that's coming and how you and I should prepare ourselves for it. Oh, I know, people scoff. There have been wars and rumors of wars ever since Cain killed Abel. And there have been earthquakes and famines and disease for as long as the world has existed. How can you say these things point to the coming of Christ? Well, I didn't say it. Jesus did. If you don't accept what he said, that's between you and him. Although I would add, that will be detrimental to your future. Because your rejection of truth doesn't change the truth. Other people say, well, we only think there are more calamities because we have much better communication than previous generations. I don't necessarily debate the last part of that statement, but I also know that our day was and is not unseen by Jesus because he is eternal. He sees all time as now. And then Jesus makes a statement that the scholars have wrestled with for a long time. "Assuredly, I say to you, this generation shall absolutely not pass away until all that is predicted comes to pass." Well, let's start with the obvious. Jesus couldn't be referring to those in the audience because they're all dead. Some say this chapter speaks only of the destruction of Jerusalem, but clearly there are things predicted here by Jesus that did not happen in that event. In addition, few of those who heard Jesus speak these words would have been alive in 70 AD. So what did Jesus mean? Notice that right after Jesus makes this statement, he follows it up with verse 31, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." What Jesus said will come to pass. Some have suggested that Jesus is referring to the human race, that it will continue until all the things that he predicted will come to pass. Well, that's undoubtedly true, but that's not how the word generation is normally used. Others suggest that unbelieving Jews were present at that time, and today the Jews as a group of people still do not believe in Jesus as Messiah. Some individuals have embraced him as Messiah, but not the nation. So that seems like a possibility, but again, it's not the usual way that the word generation is used. The understanding I believe makes the most sense is that the generation that begins to see the signs mentioned in verses 25 and 26 will be the same generation to see the end of human history as we know it. I believe the emphasis is on the certainty of the end rather than on a specific date. People expected the end of human history. We know that from the disciples' question at the beginning of this chapter. So Jesus stated a particular kind of end, and he gave them the signs that would accompany it. Jesus urges us to be observant of our times. The New Testament writers echo that counsel repeatedly for us. So let's keep our eyes open because our redemption is drawing near. The next command is be vigilant. Jesus clearly stated that God the Father is the only one who knows when these final events will unfold. He said, But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Now Jesus must be speaking about the second coming, because earlier he had made predictions about the coming destruction of Jerusalem, and that was in the near future. Anyone today who claims to know the particular time of the second coming of Christ is a deceiver. Now here we have a positive command among the last words of teaching that Jesus gave before he went to the cross. He said, because the day of the Lord will come unexpectedly upon those who dwell on the earth, we must be alert and watch. Jesus' command means to be sleepless, to be constantly alert. It is imperative for us to keep on watching and staying alert. And why must we watch? Because it is so easy to be overcome by life's daily obligations and the pursuits of wealth and pleasure. You know, these things gratify our physical senses, but they dull our spiritual ones. A sentry, a guard, on his post must be vigilant. If he fails in his duty, he will pay for it with his life, and many others may lose their lives too. If you and I fail to be vigilant, others may suffer from that lack of vigilance. Ezekiel chapter 33 and verses 1 to 11 provide us with a graphic warning about those who, as God's messengers, fail to watch and warn those under their care. And then Jesus gives another present imperative, another command. He says, keep on earnestly praying. Paul echoes this command in 1 Thessalonians 5:13. Three simple words, pray without ceasing. Why? So you may be strong enough to prevail and to escape all these terrible judgments that are coming. This prayer isn't like, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. No, this is a prayer like Elijah's. It's earnest, it's fervent, and according to James 5:16, it is effective. It's prayer that makes a difference. Remember, Jesus' disciples were given this warning in the Garden of Gethsemane. They didn't heed it, and they failed their master miserably. As I read verse 33, I was reminded of the words of the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 11. In a brief catalog of some of the things he suffered for the cause of Christ, he listed these in verses 27 and 28. He said, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fasting often, in cold and nakedness, besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. We know that Paul's deep concern for the church was a subject of many prayers. What an example Paul is for us. He was vigilant. What about you and me? Are we vigilant? Are we watching and praying? Or are we like those that Jesus described in Luke 21:34, having our hearts weighed down with carousing and drunkenness and the cares of this life? You might say, oh, we don't do those things. Really? What about the emphasis among many professing Christians on pleasure and leisure time? You know, during these summer months, some churches are half empty because so many parishioners are at the beach or in the mountains or off on some other pursuit of pleasure. What about working so much that our families suffer, or we don't have time to fellowship with God's people or gather with them for seasons of prayer? We're working hard to make life easier for our children, or we're heaping up treasures we'll leave behind when our time here on earth is over. The scriptures remind us that as we see the end of the age approaching, we need more times of fellowship and connectedness with our brothers and sisters, not less. And the Apostle Peter warns us, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brothers in the world. But may the God of all grace, who has called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. There is a reason why Jesus repeats his command to watch so often in these few verses. The final command, then, that Jesus gives is be busy. Jesus said his return will be like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants and each his work, and he commanded the doorkeeper to watch. You know, that reminds me of the parable of the minas in Luke 19. Jesus spoke another parable because he was near Jerusalem and because they thought the kingdom of God would appear immediately. Therefore he said, "A certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. So he called 10 of his servants, delivered to them 10 minas, and said to them, 'Do business until I come.'" So we should not sit around twiddling our thumbs, as we say, waiting for these things to happen. We are to be busy. We are to work while we wait. Did you notice that Jesus gave authority to his servants and a specific work for each of them to perform? One of those positions of responsibility was to guard the door. Like the parable of the minas, the servants understood that their master would ultimately return. But what they didn't know was the specific time that he would come back. Jesus told numerous parables to reinforce this truth, and one of them is in Luke 12. "And the Lord said, 'Who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his master will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of food in due season? Blessed is that servant his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly, I tell you that he will make him ruler over all that he has. If that servant says in his heart, "My master is delaying his coming," and he begins to beat the male and female servants, and to eat and be drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in two, and appoint him his portion with the unbelievers." So you see, this unfaithful steward was busy, but his business was centered on himself, what he wanted, not what his master wanted. And that's our tendency too. We're busy, all right, but too often we're busy with the wrong things. So what is the focus of your labor, the focus of your work? The psalmist said, "Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain." Let's not be like the prosperous farmer that Jesus told about in Luke 12. You know, Jesus didn't condemn him for his success or his work. He condemned him because he laid up treasure for himself and was not rich toward God. And then Jesus closes this section of teaching with a final admonition to watch. And in it, he lists the 4 3-hour watches of the night: 6 to 9 p.m., 9 to midnight, midnight to 3 a.m., and 3 to 6 in the morning. The application I take from that is we must be ready at all times for his coming. So I close by asking, are you watching and praying? Our text reveals the importance of obeying these commands. Be observant. Pay attention to where we are on God's clock. Be vigilant, always on your guard, and praying in every situation of life. Be busy doing the work God has called you to do with a laser-like focus on his kingdom. If you obey these commands, the coming of the Lord will absolutely not take you by surprise.
Rise, glory. Victor or death and hell, cherubim,
Thank you, J. Mark, for that timely and powerful message from God's Word. Now is certainly the time to take Jesus' words seriously. Eternity is real, and His return is certain. And while divine judgment is sobering, you know, I look forward to the day when Jesus returns. If I'm alive at that point, I'll get to see Jesus, my Lord and my King. Won't that be wonderful? It's always our desire that these programs lead you closer to Jesus and help you understand the Bible more clearly. If today's message spoke to your heart, we'd love to hear from you. Maybe you have a question, a testimony, or a prayer request. We're here for you. And you can reach us by phone at 866-960-0292, by email at hope@heraldsofhope.org, or by writing to The Voice of Hope, 6183 Lincoln Highway, Harrisonville, Pennsylvania, 17228. And don't forget, you can always listen to our past episodes or explore more Bible-based content right on our website at heraldsofhope.org. You can also subscribe to our podcast or find us on YouTube by searching for Guide Through the Bible. Your prayers and support make this ministry possible, and we're thankful for each of you who walk with us as we share the good news of Jesus around the world. Keep watching and praying, and if Jesus doesn't return, be sure to join us the next time for more Bible teaching and encouragement right here on The Voice of Hope.
Christian, do not seek repose. Cast your dreams of ease away. You are in the midst of foes. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. Wicked forces, evil powers, gathered in unseen array. They wait for your unguided hours. Watch and pray. Watch and pray.
Put your heavenly armor on, wear it always night and day.
Serve Him and obey. Treasure in your heart His word. Watch and